probably not come as any surprise to anyone in this building if I told you that the North American Church is going through some hard times. For those of us who've stayed with the church or maybe recently joined the church, talking about the church throughout North America, we've watched with dismay as many have left the church, never to return. We see people bypassing the church, ignoring the church, and even in some cases, outright rejecting the church. You probably know that in all recent religious studies of religious affiliation, the fastest growing group is those they call nuns, those who have no religious affiliation at all. So the North American Church is challenged. You know it. I don't need to tell you that. But I am here to say that I need the church. You need the church. Canada needs the church. The world needs the church. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, literally, here. You're here because you agree with me. So why preach about this? For two reasons. One, I think we need to be reminded sometimes, why does the world need the church? And then secondly, I have a feeling that you have people in your life who are asking you, why do we need the church? Maybe the church had a great run for a couple of millennia, but that run is over, and we're moving on. The church maybe served a great purpose somewhere, but it's just a relic from the past, and let's move forward. You're hearing that. Maybe you're even thinking that. I know you're hearing that in your world. So we need to be reminded from time to time, why do we need the church? And it really comes down to two reasons. One, because of what the church is, and secondly, because of what the church does. Now, obviously, we're going to try to answer those. What is the church? What is the church? It's very important for us to answer that question. Because, as you probably know, there's lots of confusion, and often has been, about what is the church. Most people outside of the church, and sadly many people in the church, see the church as a man-made institution of religious power and influence. And I would be the first to admit, as a historian, that the church has often been co-opted by the world for its own ends. The church has often become a man-made institution, sadly, and has sold itself not as it is truly meant to be. What is the church? That is, what is the true church? What is the true church? Well, we don't have time, of course, this morning to look at this in depth. It's a big question. But I think we're going to start here. Because to me, this really goes to the heart of it. Matthew 16. Here we see Jesus conversing with one of his key disciples, the disciple by the name of Peter. And he says to Peter, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. On this rock, what rock? Can't be Peter, right? It's Jesus. We'll see in a moment. Jesus, on this rock, Jesus, on myself, I will build my church. That's the heart of it. Regardless of how you define church, there are many ways of approaching the understanding of church. This is the heart of it. The church is not mine. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to the Baptists. It doesn't belong to any kind of religious affiliation. The church and the true understanding of the church is Jesus' church. He said, I will build my church. The church then, at its heart, is an organic body. It's something that's alive. And if you know the writings of the Apostle Paul, who would be empowered by Jesus to be that key teacher about the nature of his church, you know that over and over again, Paul called the church the body. The body. Sometimes he called it the body of Christ, meaning the church is the representative in the world of Christ, of Jesus Christ. And sometimes he just simply called it the body. The picture being, we're alive. We're not an institution, we're an organic life, a life infused by and through and completely in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about it in Ephesians chapter 2. As I said, Paul is really the key teacher to us about the church, and he has much, much to say, obviously. But I want to read or share with you this portion from his letter to the Ephesians. Paul writes to these new Christians who are, by the way, trying to figure out the church, right? It's brand new to them. What is the church? What is this body? He says, you are not now no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This statement is packed full of truth about the nature of the church. Among other things, and I think first and foremost, Paul says here that the church is God's people. Notice that? At the heart of it, it's God's people. First and foremost, the church is a company of believers who have been born again into the family of God, or as he puts it, a member of his household. That is the church. That's the heart of it. Which obviously opens up all different understandings about the church, doesn't it? It tells us, for example, that the church can look in many different ways. It can take different shapes. It can express itself in different ways. And today, around the globe, there are many different churches meeting in all different settings and situations. But they come together as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, God's people. In him, the whole body is joined together. Jesus is the glue. The institution is not the glue. Jesus is the glue that holds the body together. He says that we, the church, are a holy temple. Clearly, he's not speaking of a physical temple or a spiritual temple. He says we are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. A temple was a holy place because that was where God dwelt. We are the temple of God. We are the temple where God dwells in this world as he dwells in our life by his Holy Spirit. Now let's unpack that just a little bit, what Paul has to say here about the church. He says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. This may be one of the most misunderstood phrases in the New Testament on the teachings of Jesus. So let me just quickly say, Paul is not saying the apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. You'll see why he's not saying that in a moment. Apostles and prophets, by the way, were representatives of and spokespersons for God. So when we see the word apostles and prophets, we want to kind of capitalize those words. But the truth is, apostles and prophets simply mean those people who are empowered by God through his Holy Spirit to speak up for him. Now, we know that there were 12 or 13 apostles. We know that there were, capital P prophets. But we also know that we're all called to be representatives. We're all called to speak up. We've talked about that in the last few weeks, haven't we? About all are called to be missionaries. So the apostles and prophets, the representatives and spokespersons for God and the church, were laying the foundation. They are not the foundation. But these first church apostles and prophets were laying the foundation. Where did I come up with that? Well, let's go and look at another teaching of the Apostle Paul, because as you know, you always have to compare Scripture with Scripture, right? And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the foundation. He is the foundation. But as we glorify him, as we preach and teach the gospel, as we live out our faith, we are laying that foundation, which is Jesus, in the church. Jesus is the foundation. But we notice there that Paul went a little farther than that. He said not only is Jesus the foundation, but he's also the chief cornerstone. Now remember, Paul, of course, as he often does, is using metaphorical terms to express to us the reality of who Jesus is. He's the chief cornerstone. What does that mean? In his time, that meant the keystone of the foundation, the stone which bore the weight of all of the entire structure. the stone by which all the other stones were oriented, and the stone that brought unity to the building. It's a beautiful picture of who Jesus is and how we relate to him as his church. He is indeed the foundation. He bears the weight of who we are. He is the one who orients our life, directing and guiding us and showing us the way. And he is the one who makes us one in Christ. I need the church. You need the church. The world needs the church because of what the church is. Define that from the scriptures. Define it from the scriptures. But we also need the church because of what it does. If the church is an institution, it can become irrelevant. Institutions all become irrelevant eventually, right? If you study history, all institutions have their day, and then they pass. But if the church is the living body of Christ, God's people infused with Christ through the Holy Spirit, that never becomes irrelevant. The church is timeless. So what is the church to do? What are we to do? Well, there are again many, many things we could say about the church and what it's called to be and called to do. But let me just suggest three here that I think are key in understanding why we need the church. And the first is this: the church brings order to our lives and to our world. The church brings order to our lives and to our world. Lately, we've been fighting with a lot of illnesses and sicknesses in our congregation, right? Cold and flu and all of that kind of thing. And of course, I don't have to remind you of the bigger stage in the world. And when we get sick, basically what happens is our body gets out of order, right? When we get sick, confusion and chaos is reigning in our physical makeup, and we're sick. We call it being sick. Well, not only is that true of the body, but that can be true of our mind. It can be true of our society. When confusion and chaos reign, sickness follows. The church offers order. What do I mean by that? Well, consider what you might call the central creed of the church. I think when Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, it probably even by them was understood to be one of the central creeds, one of the central things that the early Christians believed about themselves. He writes, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you catch a theme there? One. One. In our day of division, we need to hear a message of unity. That unity is not something we create. It's something that we are, because we believe in one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Savior, one who is over us all. That belief, that conviction, and the teaching of the church brings unity and peace and harmony to our souls, to our minds, and I would suggest to society at large. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, he commands us, directs us, to seek first his kingdom. And he says that if you seek first the kingdom of God, life begins to fall into place. Life begins to make sense. Unity, harmony comes into our mind, our body, and our spirit, and God is glorified, and Jesus is lifted up. The church offers order, unity, harmony, our lives and to our world. But there's another reason why we need the church. Not only because its central creed offers order, but also to be the voice of truth and righteousness in the world. What do I mean by that? In John chapter 1, John in his gospel tells us about John the Baptist coming upon the public scene. John the Baptist, you remember, was the last prophet, Old Testament prophet of the Messiah, the one who would finally say, the Messiah is coming, he's following me, and that is Jesus. John came on the scene and John became very popular. He had great crowds following him. But as you can imagine, he was challenged from time to time about his identity. And so we read in John 1:22, the people said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And I love his answer. John goes back, all the way back to the prophet Isaiah. And in quoting that great prophet, he says, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." In a way, John the Baptist was saying, "I'm taking up the torch." Prophets of old had been saying, "Jesus is coming. Prepare your life, prepare your heart for Jesus. I'm taking up that torch." But what we need to see is that he passed that torch on to you and me. That we, the church, are also the voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming. We're speaking up for Jesus. The role of the church is to speak up for God, to speak up for truth, which, by the way, is Jesus, right? Remember that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Speak up for Jesus. Speak up for righteousness. The world needs the church. I need the church. You need the church to be the voice of truth and righteousness in the world. The voice who will speak up for God, who will speak up for Jesus, who will speak up for truth. You remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus famously called the church the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Do you remember that? He said, "We're salt of the earth and light of the world." What does he mean by that? Again, it's a metaphor. Basically, what he was saying is this, the implication is this, that the world without Jesus is floundering in spiritual darkness. The world without Jesus is rotting in spiritual decay and death. Or to put it in a more positive light, healing and light come into the world when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need the church. You need the church. We need the church. The world needs the church to be the voice of truth and righteousness in the world. And we need the church to preach, to proclaim, to live out the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the church has many roles. The church can do many different things, and so it should. But we must never lose sight of our primary role. We've talked a bit about it over the last couple of weeks. Jesus put it this way, Mark 16:15. He said to the first disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." The church is called to speak up about the good news. Gospel means good news. The good news of Jesus. Why? Because the gospel is, as Paul reminds us in Romans 1:16, the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God, the good news of reconciliation or peace with God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is a power to change our lives forever, a power offering peace and hope and victory, a power for good in our troubled world. The world needs the church. If the church understands who it is and what it's called to do, to preach the gospel, to live out the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, be sure that the gospel is the heart of who and what we are. Because it comes down to this: if not the church, then who? If not the church, then who? If the voice of the church is silenced, then who? The author of Hebrews reminds us that there are all kinds of strange teachings which are of no benefit to those who hear and receive them. If that was true in his day, it's true 100-fold in our day, isn't it? All kinds of strange teachings out there. We, the church, have the message of life in Jesus Christ. We have the message of hope and harmony and meaning and purpose. We cannot be silent. We must not be silent. We must be the church. I need the church. You need the church. The world needs the church. We, by God's grace, are the church. Let us, without apology, be the church. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your church. Lord, I cannot even begin to say what it means for me to be in the church, to know the church, to be by your grace a member of your church through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that not only can I be thankful for it, but realize how important it is to be your church wherever I go and all that I am. Help us, Lord, to be your church as you fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.